just straight up and down. I like to win. I like to win. I like to come in first. I'm competitive. It doesn't always show that way, but I'm competitive. Amen. I like to win. I like to win. I like to be in first. I like to be in front. I don't even like to be in traffic. Amen, somebody. I don't even like to be in line at the grocery store. Drives me nuts. I always want to be out front. I like to win. I like to win. I like to be in front so much that I'm the firstborn. Amen, somebody. Amen, somebody. I like to win. And so it's interesting to me. It throws me off sometimes because I'm such a linear thinker. It throws me off sometimes when I'm having to deal with some of the complexities of my life. Because the truth be told, there are some areas in my life in which I'm winning. Amen, somebody. But there are other areas of my life in which I feel like I'm taking an L. There are some areas in my life in which I feel like I'm out front of the pack, but there are other areas of my life in which I feel like I'm lagging behind. And I don't know about you, but that's most of us as we learn to live along this life's journey, is that you can have some areas in your life in which you got it going on and a bag of chip, and you've got other areas of your life in which you are struggling and just trying to figure out how to get past today. Have I got a witness in the house today? And so my brothers and my sisters, we navigate this complexity of life and dealing with the fact that even though we are winners, that we don't always feel like we've got the win. That you can have things going on real well at your job, but things going crazy at your house. You can have things going real well in your finances, but things going real crazy in your health. That you can be taking a win in all these other areas, but taking an L in other areas. It's the complexity of this thing called life. And so what I've come by today, though, my brothers and my sisters, is I was grappling with this, struggling with this. The scripture showed me, God showed me, Jesus showed me, that in the midst of all that I struggle with, that no matter where I am along my journey, I'm positioned to win. Turn to your neighbor and say, you positioned to win. I thought I was only positioned to win when I was younger, when I was up front. But what the scripture showed me and what God showed me was that even when I'm having a rough season, I'm positioned to win. That even when I've fallen behind, I'm positioned to win. That even when I'm broke as a joke, I'm positioned to win. That even when I don't feel as good as I should in my body, I'm positioned to win. That even when my relationship situation looks like helter-skelter, I'm positioned to win. Have I got a witness in the house today? Is there anybody in the house today that you came to church not because you felt like you were a winner, not because you felt like you had it going on, but because of some issues in your life, and you came to your church knowing I need the Lord to show up somewhere in my life? I've come by to let you know that right where you are positioned to win. When we look at this scripture, we look at a scripture that's a little oxymoronic. It's a little crazy to me because what you find is there's this landowner. This landowner owns a vineyard, and he goes out in the morning to where all the guys are who want to work, and he gets a bunch of them to come and work as early in the morning, and he tells them, look, I'll pay you a denarius, which is a day's wage. I'll pay you a day's wage to work in my field. And so they start to work, and then the Bible says around 9 o'clock, he then goes back to the same spot and sees some other people there and says, hey, come on, work out in my vineyard. And they come and they work, and then he goes out around noon and does the same thing, sees some folks and tell them, hey, come on and work in my vineyard. And they come on out and they work, and then around 5 o'clock, he does it around 3 o'clock, and then he does it around 5 o'clock, and he does it around 5 o'clock, and then everybody gets off at six. Everybody gets off at six, and the Bible says that he tells his people to, look, you go get the workers and get them from the last ones I brought in to the first ones. And so they go and they get the people who were working at 5 o'clock, and they give them a denarius, a day's wage. They get the people who are working at 3 o'clock, give them a denarius. Get the people they picked up at noon and give them a denarius. Get the people they picked up at 9 and give them a denarius. And get the people they picked up at, I believe, around 7 in the morning and give them a denarius. And the people at 7 had an attitude. Wouldn't you have an attitude? People at 7 said, I've been working here all daggone day long. Worked when it was hot outside. Worked through the noon hour. Worked when the sun was the highest. And you're going to give me the same amount of money that you gave them people who only had worked for 1 hour? I mean, it was 5 o'clock. We had almost finished everything. They just helped us clean up. How are you going to give them the same thing you give us? And the landowner says, well, look, it's my money. I can do whatever I want to with my money. Didn't I tell you in the morning that you were going to get paid a denarius? They said, yeah, well, I paid you what we agreed upon. If I decide I want to be generous with the 5 o'clock people, that's on me because it's my money. Y'all hearing me today? And the interesting thing for me, my brothers and my sisters, is that it shows us that in God's cosmic kind of a sense, that God can do what God wants to do, how God wants to do it, when God wants to do it. And it doesn't matter if you've been here all your life or you just showed up this morning. If God wants to bless you, God can bless you. If God wants to take care of you, God can take care of you. It doesn't matter if you out front or if it doesn't matter if you're the last. But the landowner said, and the first shall be last, Lord have mercy, and the last shall be first. One of the first things I believe you've got to understand, if you understand your position to win, is you got to learn to be Google. Turn to your neighbor and say, be Google, be Google, be Google. What do you mean? One of the things I understand about being Google is it doesn't matter when you got there, as long as you're there. Turn to your neighbor and say, as long as I showed up, as long as I showed up, as long as I showed up. Reverend Bowers, there's this thing, Pastor Sterling called first mover advantage in the business world. I have one of my degrees is business, and one of the things I learned in the business school at the University of Maryland was that they got this thing called first mover advantage. First mover advantage says that a company, that a corporation, that an entrepreneur that comes into a market first has an advantage over those who are coming up after them. Somebody who hits the market first has an advantage to get the market share. So if you've got a new technology, you've got a new product, if you have figured out how to make something new better than anybody else, then if you're the first person to the market, then usually you end up being able to get the larger part of the market share. You end up having what's called first mover advantage. Amen, somebody? And the challenge for too many of us is that many of us, we believe that happens in the kingdom. We believe that folks get first mover advantage. So that's the reason some churches are so seditious, because the people who've been there since the beginning feel like they got first mover advantage. Anybody ever been to a church where folks felt just because they had been there longer than you that they were better than you? Or just because folks got saved before you, they were better than you? That just because folks have been walking with Jesus longer than you that they were better than you? And so just because they knew more scriptures than you, they were better than you, and they could talk down to you and look down at you? But I've come by to let you know, ain't no first mover advantage in the kingdom. Amen, somebody? That's not scriptural. That's not scriptural. But the thing I like is that when I looked at first mover advantage, I realized first mover advantage did not always work, but you also have what's called second mover advantage. Tell them I'm late to the show, but I'm at the show. I'm late to the show, but I'm at the show. Second mover advantage says that sometimes you don't have to be the one in front to be the one that does it the best. Second mover advantage says that sometimes the first mover is the one that spends all their money on the research, spends all their money on development, spends all their money on marketing, spends all their money trying to get the consumer to buy into this product, and a second mover can come with a similar product but make it better and be able to capitalize on everything the first mover did and be able to have a bigger market share than the first mover. Second mover advantage says that you can be late to the game, Lord have mercy, but you can still win. Turn to your neighbor and say, I may be behind, but I'm a winner. I'm a winner. And I may be late to the game, but I can still win. You don't believe me? But let me help you. Anybody heard of books.com? Books.com was the first, Lord have mercy, online bookstore. It was at first mover advantage. But Jeff Bezos decided when he made Amazon.com, they may have first mover advantage, but we're going to do this thing better and bigger. And so you don't even know books.com no more. But Amazon.com just bought Whole Foods, because they're not even just a bookstore no more, but they are multi-day everything. Amen, somebody. Because they had second mover advantage. Oh, you don't believe me? Let me help you. You got to be like Google. Don't y'all realize Google was not the first search engine? Before Google was AltaVista and WebCrawler and Lycos and Yahoo and Ask Jeeves. Them things even look better than Google. But Google came along and just did it better than them. Ask Jeeves even had a little butler on the joint. And you could ask the butler what you wanted. Have I got a witness? Y'all know what I'm talking about? But Google came on. They had no butler. They had no little flash page. They had an empty page of a little box that you put your little question into, and it would Google it. Look, they even made up a word to be able to do it, and you could be. And Google now is running the whole daggone thing. Somebody in the house, you've got to understand that I don't care if you were the first. I know you seem to be the last, but you tell them I'm the best, and I'm the best me that I can be. That I'm going to Google up something in here. That you've got to understand that what God wants to do with me. I don't have to have first mover advantage as long as I got Jesus Christ advantage and with the Lord on my side, that I can move and I can shake and I'm positioned to win. I'm positioned to win. The second thing you got to understand, is that when you get there, you got to work as hard as you can with the hour you've got. I turn to your neighbor and say, it's time to work. One of the things, Minister Felicia, that I come, when I look at this text, it gets me. One of the things that interests me, one of the things that I don't believe that those folks who came first understood when they were complaining about the fact that they got to pay the same thing, because they didn't understand it. At the end of the day, everybody won. You got to think about it. Everybody who ended up working that day and got paid, none of them had a job before the day started. None of them had a job before the day started. All of them were standing around looking for work. But the Lord, the landowner, was able to come and to be able to bless them. And whether they worked 8 hours or whether they worked 1 hour, they had to understand that I've got to put in work no matter how long I'm here. And the thing is that if the 1 hour worker had done bad work, the landowner wouldn't have paid them for the work. But the 1 hour worker had to understand, I may have came late to the show, but I'm going to work as hard as I can. And I'm going to believe if I work hard enough, I'll be compensated for the work that I do. Somebody in the house today, just because you're behind doesn't mean it gives you the ability to be lazy. That just because you don't seem to be winning doesn't mean that you can sit on your rusty dusty and complain about what you don't have and how everybody else is ahead of you. But you've got to work, Lord have mercy, as hard as you can with what you've got. I know you don't have what they've got, but baby, if you'll just work what you've got, the Lord will take what you've got and bless you for putting in work right where you are. Have I got anybody in the house today that knows that time is out for all these excuses you've been given about what you can't do and how you can't do it and why you can't be it? But now is the time to just work with what you've got. If all you've got is an hour, then you better work your hour. But don't you take a lunch break when you got 1 hour. The challenge with many of us, we'll get there 1 hour and complain for half of it. But if I got anybody in here that knows that now is your time to put your shoulder to the plow and put in. It's time for you to put in work. It's time for you to put in. Because when you work and I work, we all win. Turn to your neighbor and say, we winning. It's winning season. It's winning. It's winning. It's winning. It's winning season. The last thing we got to get up out of here is you got to understand that the last seat isn't always the worst seat. The last seat isn't always the worst seat. It's a very interesting thing when you look at this scripture. The end of chapter 20, you'll look and realize that it is really a piece of bread in a sandwich. You'll realize at the end of chapter 20, the scripture says, so the last will be first and the first will be last. But you always don't realize that the last verse in chapter 19 says, but many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first. In other words, God sandwiched, Jesus sandwiched these two sayings, these two similar sentences, used them as bookends for this parable, to let you know that he was trying to make sure that you understood that it does not matter where you are, as long as you are in God's will, that the last can be first. Lord have mercy. And the last seat is not always the worst seat. Let me help you. I learned something when I was at the National Museum of African American History and Culture. On this past week, I was at the National Museum of African American History and Culture, and I learned something about rail car number 1200. I was blessed that our member, Sister Tequila, was giving me the tour, and as she was giving me and a friend the tour, that she showed us rail car number 1200. It's this big, long rail car in the National Museum of African American History and Culture. This rail car is a 44-seat rail car that was used in the 1940s through the 1960s, and it's in the segregation exhibit in the National Museum of African American History and Culture. It's a very interesting thing, because when you look at this rail car, let us say say that it starts all the way back here. The Sister Tequila walked and she showed me that in the back of the rail car they had a bathroom. They had this really kind of scantily done bathroom with a bathroom and a little sink right beside it, a toilet and a little sink right beside it. And she said that this was the black folks' bathroom. And then you had seats, which was the colored section. You had seats that were the colored section. So on the back of the rail car, you had the little bathroom and you had the seats that were the colored section. And then she said, Reverend, right here is the end of the colored section, and now here is the whites-only section. During this time period of the segregation, the blacks had to be at the back of the rail car. And so you had this colored, the whites-only section here at the front of the rail car. And what you saw was that this bathroom didn't just have a toilet and a wash thing in the same little cubicle, but it had a wash little room right here. And then outside of it, it had its own little toilet area so you could wash your hands, not where you use the bathroom. Amen, somebody. And then they had all of the chairs for all of those. And then at the front of the rail car, there was another whole nother bathroom section. So you had another bathroom section. So remember, I told you that there was a bathroom section in the back of the rail car that was for the colored people. And there was a whole section up front for whites only. And so Sister Aquila said, Reverend, I've got to share with you a message of hope out of this rail car. And y'all got to understand that if you've ever been to the National Museum of African American History and Culture, and you've ever started not on the top floor but the bottom floor, Lord have mercy, then by the time you get to segregation, you're feeling some kind of way because you done already witnessed the Middle Passage, and you done already witnessed slavery, and you done already been to look at Emmett Till's body and been to his grave area. You've always been and looked at his coffin, and so you're feeling some kind of way. And so I'm sitting here at segregation, and I'm looking at this situation in which the colored folks only had this little part at the back of this area, and I'm feeling some kind of way. And Sister Tequila, my member, is telling me, Reverend, I've got a message of hope out of the midst of the rail car. And I'm like, well, you better preach it quick because I'm about to go fight somebody. Amen, somebody. I'm feeling some kind of way on the inside. And she said, Reverend, you've got to understand it as you look at the rail car, and the colors were on the back, and all the whites only were able to be on the front. But what they started to see was that the whites who were on the front over time started to get sick, and nobody understood what was giving them these illnesses. They would have these illnesses, and nobody understood what was giving them these illnesses. But what they realized along the journey was that on the front of the rail car, closest to those whites who could only be on the front area, was where they loaded the coal for the rail car. And what they realized was that when you loaded the coal to be able to power the rail car, that the smoke fumes would get to them because they were on the front end of the rail car. And they ended up sick from the fumes. She said, Reverend, you've got to understand. They were told, black folks were told to be at the back, and they were thought it was meant to keep them back, but it was actually the best seat. And I've come by to talk to somebody today because you feel like you're the last and everybody else is in front of you, but it's not to kill you, it's to keep you until it's time for you to move on up to where God has for you to go. Is there anybody in the house that knows it? Baby, I've been riding on the back, but the last seat is not necessarily the worst seat, but God is taking care of me, and the folks who are in front of me think they're getting over on me, but they're getting in the midst of all the mess, while God is taking care of me all the way back here. Have I got anybody in here who would like you all the way back here? But I've come by to let you know, you're in position to win, you're in position to move forward, you're in position to go higher. Somebody give God glory in the house today. If you know I'm in position to win, the last shall be first, and the first. Shall be last. I want you to stand all over the church, all that are able.